Good morning. It's Leading Off with True Blue LA. Today is Friday, January 20th. This is Eric Steven, your host, and today is a mailbag episode. I put out a feeler for Dodgers questions on Monday, and thank you to everyone who participated in the comments there at True Blue LA. I handpicked a handful of these. I thought they were some very good questions, and we'll just get right to them. First question is from DoveRegubbin86. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. It's one of those where you see a word and then you realize you've never said it out loud. His question, who will have more plate appearances as shortstop, Gavin Lux or Miguel Rojas? So last week, Jacob Birch and I tried to answer this on the lineup podcast. We sort of started trying to figure out who's going to play the most defensive innings. Imagine who's going to show up on the baseball reference page as the player at that position. But we basically did it for five positions because you had the sort of set ones, and then we went to several positions: shortstop, third, second, left, and center. But what started as an exercise to sort of pick the leader became us sort of talking through each position, and we realized that there's a lot of players who could play several positions. So, and I think the main takeaway is that I think especially at shortstop, the leader might lead the team in innings, but not overwhelmingly so. Like, it could be something like 83 starts at shortstop for one player and 63 for another or whatever. But on the podcast, I picked Rojas to play the most at short, mostly because his defense is so stellar. But like I said, I think the playing time split could be pretty close. So complicating matters with Rojas, he had a wrist surgery in October, and there's sort of still a question of what needs to still happen with that wrist. He might need another procedure, maybe. Craig Mish at the Miami Herald reported that at the time the Dodgers traded for him. Rojas, in an interview with David Vasse on Dodger Talk, said there's still things to figure out with his wrist before spring training. What that means, I don't know, but I think at the very least it might affect his availability for opening day. But I could see the Dodgers starting the season with Rojas at short, if he's assuming he's healthy. And then you keep Lux at second base. But then at some point, during the year, you figure Michael Busch is going to hit his way onto the roster. And he's been playing mostly second base. They seem pretty committed to him playing second base. You could see a scenario where Busch comes up and he has to play most of the time at second. Then maybe that's when Lux shifts to short and Rojas becomes more of a utility role. I think the best version of the 2023 Dodgers has Lux at shortstop and Rojas as the semi-regular fill-in at various infield positions. So I think it's just a matter of time, or a matter of how long it takes them to get to that configuration. So we'll see. But I think if I had to just pick one, I think Rojas is going to end up playing a little bit more shortstop than Lux. Next question. There are two of them sort of grouped together here. JB8 says, do you believe there will be any 40-man roster additions prior to the first full squad workout on February 20th? El Camino, 68 El Camino 427, asks, will the Dodgers add another bat prior to opening day? Will the Dodgers add another starting pitcher prior to opening day? So I lump these two together because they're very much related. I think the answer to all three of them are yes. The first one is more of a technicality because the first full squad workout's February 20th, but there's also pitchers and catchers reporting, the non-World Baseball Classic folks reporting on February 16th. Presumably, the pitchers and catchers are reporting on the 15th. That's generally the day where spring training is sort of set to begin, and that's when you can start putting players on the 60-day injured list. So I'm not sure exactly, who might still be available. at that time, because it is, it's a risky move if you're like just waiting to add someone and you're like, well, let's wait till I have a 40-man spot open. That person might not be available, but you know, they also might be. So I could see them sort of signing someone like in that period. This happened in 2021 when the Dodgers signed Justin Turner. He became official on February 19th. I forget the reporting date that year, but that was like within a few days of it. And that's when they placed Caleb Ferguson on the 60-day injured list. But I don't, that was about a week after Turner like tweeted the news himself. So I don't know if that was a situation where they just waited till spring training was starting to do that, to make that move official, or I think it may have just had to do more with the timing of Turner literally getting to Camelback Ranch and taking the physical. So, but I think, so the Dodgers have three pitchers right now who aren't expected to pitch till like very late in the season, if at all, in 2023. You got Walker Buehler coming off Tommy John and flexor tendon repair. Blake Treinen had shoulder surgery, and then newcomer JP Feiereisen, the reliever who they traded for, he's not expected to pitch until at least after the All-Star break. So all of them will probably at some point end up on the 60-day injured list. Now, they're not just going to first day available put them on the 60-day, because you never really do that move until you have to. So until they're going to add someone, they're not going to just willy-nilly put them on the 60-day, I don't think. But one pitcher who might sort of fulfill both roles here is Chad Green. He's a free agent, pitched for the Yankees the last few years, reliever, recovering from Tommy John surgery. He could follow the Tommy Canley path, if you will, where Dodgers signed him to a two-year deal where you're sort of banking on getting that second year of production and willing to ride out the rehab in the first year. The advantage of Green over Canley in this regard is that Green's Tommy John surgery was last June. If you go back 2 years to Tommy Canley, his was in August. So I think at the very least, Green would be able to pitch at some point in 2023, whereas Canley did not pitch in 2021. But also, if you get Chad Green and then, say, sign him to a two-year deal, you could also place him on the 60-day injured list, too, to create another roster spot. The Dodgers also did this last year. Last year was a little weird because of the lockout, so everything was sort of truncated. But on the same day, they did Jimmy Nelson. They signed him, and then they also signed Danny Duffy, and they also signed Freddie Freeman, all with the same roster spot, because Nelson and Duffy went on the 60-day, and they ended up, neither of them ended up pitching. So it doesn't always work out with those pitchers, but just saying, that's a scenario. I will say, in terms of the bat or the starting pitcher they might add, I do think the Dodgers will add a bat, because the current sort of projected 13 active position players from the 40-man roster here, this is my estimation, those 13 include James Outman and Yonny Hernandez. Now, that's not bad, but I think there's also they still need depth. I've written about this multiple times. I do think, we'll get to this in a second, but Jason Hayward is a non-roster invitee. He could definitely make the team. But I would still argue they could use a little more depth. So, again, it doesn't have to be like an everyday starter. It could be like a Rojas level, someone with a very unique skill, who he does very well, who could, you know, be a backup, or, you know, maybe someone with options or whatever, but maybe not someone with options given if it's a free agent or something. But I do think they're going to add another bat because they need some depth. So in terms of pitching, now they have five starters currently occupying the five rotation spots. Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, Noah Syndergaard. You also have Ryan Pepiot and Michael Grove on the 40-man. Off the 40-man, you have Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone, who are likely both going to pitch their way onto the roster at some point this season, but not right away. I still think they're going to get another starting pitcher. Like, that's usually how they operate. We've seen this, like, going back even, you know, before this current front office, even back when Ned Coletti was GM, the, I think it was, what, 2013, where they go into the end of spring training, like, oh, how are they going to find room for all eight of these starters? And then they needed like a ninth starter by the end of April because of injuries. So I think, I do think they're going to add someone. It might not be someone exciting. I think looking over the free agents, I think Michael Wacha is still available. And, you know, whether that pitcher, that extra pitcher they sign, ends up leading the team in innings pitched like Tyler Anderson last season remains to be seen. But I do think they're going to end up still adding. So, and we still have about 4 weeks until spring training. So definitely still time to do that. And if you're, and then there's also time to opening day too. So on to the next question. Underdog asks, which non-roster guy do you give the best chance of making the opening day roster? Any sleepers in the system who could make an impact this year, not on the 40-man roster? In terms of, you know, non-roster, because I think Jason Hayward is in his own category because I think he's sort of ticketed for the roster unless, like an injury happens or something. But again, it's all dependent on health. He's been hurt the last 2 years. He missed the last 3 months of last season with a knee injury. He's been bad for two straight years, but it was also injury plague. So if he's healthy, he makes it. If not, he doesn't. So I'm excluding him from this. The Dodgers, as of yet, have not announced any non-roster invitees except Jason Hayward. I was able to report when Adam Kolarik signed that he also has a non-roster invitee. I'm sure some of the others we've talked about, like Steven Duggar and Bradley Zimmer, I'm sure they're going to have non-roster invitations to camp. But there's a lot of guesswork here. I will say it would be a nice story if Jake Reed, who was designated for assignment five times in a five-month span to end his calendar year of 2022. I'm assuming because he cleared waivers with the Dodgers and he's still in the organization, I'm assuming he gets a non-roster invitee, and it would be a fun story. I think if he ends up earning a spot in the opening day bullpen, I don't think it's necessarily likely, but that would be a moment of uncommon stability for him. In terms of the sleeper, so spoiler alert, on Monday I have an interview coming up with Alex Friedman, who is the broadcaster for AAA Oklahoma City Dodgers, has seen, you know, a number of Dodgers come through in recent years. I interviewed him about Miguel Vargas, Michael Busch, and Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone, various others. It's a fun interview. That'll be up Monday. One of the names we talked about as well was someone who's not on the 40-man roster is Drew Avens. He's older. I believe he's 27 or maybe going to be 28. And he is a fast guy, can play center, gets on base, stole 40 bases, plays good defense. And, you know, he could be someone who ends up playing his way onto the roster, like later in the season. If they need someone, we'll see. But that's sort of someone that sticks in the back of my mind. But we talked a little bit about him on that. So this is my way of just getting Drew Avens on the podcast two straight times.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Hollywood Joe asked what might be my favorite question of the group here. If you could add any position player from Dodger history to this roster who was never even once an All-Star or a Hall of Famer, who would it be? Same question for pitchers. So, a few caveats here, and I mentioned this in the comments of the mailbag prompt. I'm excluding any Brooklyn Dodger, like basically before the All-Star game started in 1933, because they didn't have a chance to be an All-Star. You could plainly look like, and Zach Wheat was a Hall of Famer, but he wouldn't qualify. But you know, like Jake Daubert was a first baseman who won MVP. He never had the chance to play in the All-Star game, but I just avoided that altogether. Joe did not mention him explicitly, but he alluded to him in a further comment in that post. Kirk Gibson, because Gibson in 1988 was asked to join the National League All-Star team, but declined the honor. I'm adding another stipulation here, because Kirk Gibson did win MVP that year. And I think, so if someone wins a MVP or a Cy Young award, they should also be disqualified from Joe's question. I don't, looking back, I don't remember how many Dodgers MVP or Cy Young winners did not also make the All-Star team, but I just sort of put that out there. So back to Joe's question, non-All-Star, non-Hall of Famer. Eric Karros jumps to mind here. He has the most plate appearances among All-Star eligible Dodgers by far. It's 6,624. He excelled at an interesting time for me as a baseball fan. So he put up 30-100 five times in a six-year stretch. He won Rookie of the Year. It was him and Piazza basically batting 3-4 for a long time. But it was also an offensive-friendly era, which I was coming to recognize at that time. His OPS plus with the Dodgers in his career was 109, which was still above average. But, you know, as a first baseman, it wasn't, like, super great. He did have some very, very good years where he should have been an All-Star, in my opinion. But I remember that I was also in my college years at this time, and I was kind of a dick, to just argumentative, I guess, is a way. And as I was learning more about, like, the analytic side of baseball, I was definitely too cocksure in my opinions, and to the point where I was looking to pick a fight, I think, more often than not. So one time I remember I was in the car with both of my brothers, and we were talking about the Dodgers or something, and I just blurted out, Eric Karros sucks. And they basically wanted to fight me at that time. I didn't believe Eric Karros sucks. I don't believe Eric Karros sucks. I think he was overrated at the time. But then also, if you look back, like, I don't remember what his career WAR total is. I don't know if that necessarily accurately represents his career. I think he was very good. But I also think for this particular exercise, he wouldn't fit on the 2023 Dodgers, because Freddie Freeman plays every day at first base. Freeman started the first 141 games last year. He didn't sit till they clinched the division. His 159 starts at first base was the most by a Dodger since Eric Karros a quarter century earlier. So they're kind of similar in that regard. Now Freeman's a much better hitter. But then you also have J.D. Martinez taking most of the starts at DH. So there's not really a place for Karros to play on this Dodgers team. I think the same applies for Wes Parker, who has the next most Dodgers plate appearances among non-All-Stars. He also played first base. He did mix in time in the outfield as well. That was earlier in his career. But I'm going to go with a different utility player, and not Lee Lacy, but I bring him up only because he was the Dodgers Rewind earlier this week. He would have been a nice fit. But who I'm going with is someone who's still active, Kike Hernandez. He can play center field, a position the Dodgers have been trying to fill defensively since non-tendering Cody Bellinger. Hernandez plays all over the middle infield as well. He'd be the perfect addition to the 2023 Dodgers because they're sort of in a transition period. They're finding a spot for Miguel Vargas, probably going to end up finding a spot for Michael Busch, maybe James Outman at some point. And depending on who takes what spots, you can have Kike fill in where you're needed. So doesn't always have to start every day. I think he'd be a perfect addition. I mean, he was a very good player, even when he was not quite hitting, because he's just so good defensively all over. He also, you know, if you look at it, he had 3 home runs in the pennant-clinching game in 2017. He had a game-tying home run in Game 7 of the NLCS in 2020. So you get to add that as well. On the pitching side, the most innings pitched for the Dodgers by a non-All-Star was Doug Rau, who was, in my opinion, he was the Chad Billingsley of the 1970s, an above-average homegrown starting pitcher who most people sort of view as either a disappointment or an also-ran. Rau won 73 games in a 5-year stretch that saw the Dodgers win 3 pennants. He has a 106 ERA plus, 1,250 innings with the Dodgers. He had a 6.55 postseason ERA. Now we're talking about 11 innings in 6 games, but most famously he was on the business end of an absolutely classic Tommy Lasorda rant on the mound during Game 4 of the 1977 World Series when he allowed 3 straight hits to left-handed batters. Rau was a left-handed pitcher, and he was pleading to stay in the game, and Tommy Lasorda was having none of it. I will link to this in the show notes. Very funny video. I also thought about Ismael Valdez as well. He was a personal favorite of mine in the 1990s. He had a 115 ERA plus in just over 1,000 innings. Bringing this full circle, he's linked to Karros as well because the two of them fought in the shower after a bad start in Miami in 1997. Got to the point where like Karros was openly mocking Valdez in the locker room, and then they just went at it. So yeah, fun times. But I'm not adding either of those. Who I am adding is a reliever. It's Ron Peronoski. He was the ace reliever for the bulk of the 1960s Dodgers. He pitched on 3 pennant winners, won 2 World Series with the team. In 7 years with the Dodgers, from 61 to 67, he averaged 107 innings with a 2.56 ERA, a 1.32 ERA plus. In those 7 years, he led the majors in games pitched, 448. He was second among relief pitcher innings with 750, behind only Hoyt Wilhelm, who's a Hall of Famer. Now, saves didn't become an official statistic in 1969, but retroactively, on Baseball Reference, his 100 saves in those 7 years as a Dodger was tied for the most in the National League. And then when he got traded to the Twins, he led the league in saves the first 2 years they became a stat. So then you add in Ron Peronoski's 14 years as a pitching coach. He could maybe impart some wisdom to his bullpen mates when he's not pitching. So I think he'd be a perfect addition. I love this question. I hope other people share who they might add in the comments below. We'll get to one more question to round this out. Barry 2020 asks, take the over or under for 91 wins next season for the Dodgers. I think 2 things can be true. I think the Dodgers offseason suggests they will take a step back in 2023, at least compared to recent years. However, they also won 111 games last year. Over the last 4 years, they have a 670 winning percentage. That's more than 2/3 of their games they've won. So they have a long way to fall before falling out of the very good territory. So I wouldn't argue with someone who says like the Padres are the favorites in the National League West. Like, that's a fair argument. But I also think the Dodgers can clear 91 wins with relative ease, even with the current roster, even if they don't make any other additions. So I think this is a clear over bet for me. But it's going to be interesting year. I do think, given some of the decisions they've made, they've probably sort of increased. They usually leave enough to account for like margin of error. So they've sort of lessened that this offseason. So it's going to be, could get interesting, could get a little bumpy, tricky at times, but I do think they're going to win over 91 games. So that's easy for me. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions. That's it for us. That's it for us this week. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back again on Monday with an interview with Alex Friedman about various Dodgers who will contribute this year. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend.